Welcome to the Biogeometric Integration Community Call Series, a monthly call for the chiropractic profession, hosted by Dr. Amy Burke. The topic for this call is Synergizing with Other Practitioners in Your Community, presented by Dr. Eric Rubin, recorded on December 9, 2008.
Where we just sort of have like a virtual cocktail party for a little while, and then when everybody's on, we get started. Is that how it works?
This is Kara in Oakland.
Oh, hey, Kara. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, doing really well. Just finished a busy adjusting shift and just trying to get used to this headset. That's a little awkward, but.
Now, this is Josh in Tahoe.
Hey, Josh. What's going on in there?
Not too much.
No?
Just finishing up with dinner.
Hey, Josh, this is Valerie in New Zealand.
Hi, Valerie. How are you? I am good.
Good.
Hey, peeps. It's Holly in Seattle.
Holly.
Hey.
How's it going?
Hi, Holly.
Good. Good to be here with you all.
Oh, likewise. Hey, Holly, did you get Amy's email or not?
Hi, Simon's in Montreal.
I saw an email from Amy this morning, but I didn't know it was to me.
Anyway, I think she just copied you on it. It had something to do with her possibly not moderating and looking for last-minute moderation.
Right, and I never heard anything from her, so I assumed I was not on that short list. Would you like some assistance?
Oh, I don't know. You've done this before, right?
Once or twice.
Okay. I don't know how much assistance I actually need.
No, I don't either. Let me know if I can help, Eric.
Thanks. I'll just scream, Holly!
Maybe I'll be here.
You should just do it on your own, Eric. You know, just start right in.
Well, okay. I guess we're at five after, so we can start right in. How y'all doing out there in virtual conference call land?
Hey.
Yeah. Cool.
This is my avatar to the phone call.
It's kind of like, you know, like the philosophy talk at the sanctuary, except not as cool a location. Although I kind of like my adjusting room. It's a pretty good location. The name of tonight's talk is something like working with other healers in your community, or I don't know, serving your niche, finding the people that you really resonate with, or something along the lines of holistic marketing or congruent marketing. And for the sake of this call, you know, a healer is just somebody, anybody in their personal life or in a profession who is engaged in the process of helping other people and helping other people achieve some level of wholeness or realize their wholeness in their life. And just a disclaimer before I get started, I'm not a coach. I don't have a program I'm selling. I don't have anything to offer except my experience and my opinion about, you know, essentially what has been working for me in my practice and what I've done over the years, in the last 4.5 years, to connect myself to a group of people that I feel there's a synergy. And maybe that could be the subtitle of tonight's talk, Synergizing with Other Practitioners. And also, just from the outset, I know people are all over the place. I heard even Cincinnati in there. But I live in a bubble. So in San Francisco, literally every other person you meet is either a massage therapist or a yoga teacher or a hypnotherapist, or, you know, it's like in L.A., everybody's an actor. In San Francisco, everybody's in the healing arts. And that may not be the case where you live, but I encourage you to get creative and just adapt some of these ideas that I'm going to throw out to your location, your practice, your specific clientele. I know, you know, for example, someone like Katina, you know, she has niched herself with nuns, right? Or Diane in Michigan has niched herself with school teachers. Just whatever it is that works for you, just open your mind up to it a little bit. And I also am not used to talking about my practice in this kind of language, so I apologize if anything sounds immodest, but this is what's been working for me, and I want to share that with you because I'm excited about it. You know, the goal here is to overlap my passion to share my gifts with outreach, with creating a marketing that is organic, that is congruent, and that really connects and works. It's very practical at the same time. And the idea for this topic came from a referral service called Yelp. In the Bay Area, there's this like online referral service. And I started noticing that a bunch of new people coming into my practice were saying that they had heard about me or had, you know, had learned about the practice on this referral service called Yelp. So I got curious about it, and I went online and started reading like what people were saying about my practice, which was an incredibly moving experience to read these unsolicited testimonials that were posted up online and that were sort of spreading out there. And one of the reviews described me as the chiropractor that your massage therapist probably goes to. And another one said, a healer's healer. And when I read that, I had this one of those sort of like tingly moments of insight. You know, I was like, oh, I'm actually learning about myself through somebody else's eyes. And I realized I had been sort of effectively building a healing alliance in the San Francisco Bay Area for my community for many, many years. And when I started into practice as a chiropractor, the fruits of that really lined up for me, and I had a very effortless starting into practice.
Eric, excuse me, can I interrupt for a second? It's Holly.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So maybe it just happened, but for all of you who are listening, if you have a question, please unmute yourself. But if you don't, if you could mute out them, if the small children or the pets and friends in the background, we'll all be able to hear Eric just a little more clearly.
So thank you, Holly.
Thank you for that, everybody.
Exactly what a moderator is supposed to do.
And
there will be definitely time for Q&A. I know I got a few email questions already, but I'll be certainly happy to entertain more. Is that better sound quality for the recording and everything?
Yeah, the biggest problem was somebody had kids in the background that were making lots of noise.
Those pesky children.
Yeah, they were just being free spirits, you know.
Okay. All right, so is that better on your end, Jeff?
That's great. You sound great.
Okay, awesome. Okay, I should breathe.
Relax, take some visualization.
Yelp,
right. Getting back to it. So I was actually kind of curious to see what the statistics were in my practice. So I had Caitlin, my front desk person, crunch some numbers, and it turns out that about 25% of the actual people that I've seen in the entire time of my practice, and usually at any time, were engaged in receiving what we call our professional discount, which we offer to people in the helping professions, people who are in some sort of service or holistic health field. And that can be a wide range of folks. So I'd sort of catalog some of them. We've got massage therapists, Rolfers, craniosacral therapists, an eclectic array of energy healers and different kinds of body workers, yoga and meditation teachers, a lot of fitness trainers, some Pilates instructors, this thing called Gyrotonic, which we've got a bunch of people teaching that now, some, you know, like psychotherapists and counselors. There's like a movement called somatic psychotherapy that's really big in the Bay Area, which is this body-centered psychotherapy. And I have several practitioners of, you know, like five or six practitioners of that coming to get adjusted regularly. Some acupuncturists, nurses, midwives, a bunch of doulas, a smattering of MDs, a couple of rock-solid DOs, lots of other chiropractors, lots of chiropractic students, and a bunch of people in the nonprofit sector. Those are the people that sort of qualify for our professional helper discount. And that would be, I guess, the first point that I would want to make is when you decide who your niche is and what population you really resonate with and want to serve, offer those people a professional discount and make it, you know, affordable to them, and you know, but still cost-effective for you. And I want to be clear that this is totally different from offering financial aid to a family or to somebody who is, you know, on more of a subsistence living. You know, it's a totally different kind of a thing to offer professional discount versus some sort of financial aid package. So, yeah, so about 25% of the practice is actually in the healing arts. So somehow I had navigated my way into serving the service sector, and it turns out that these people are highly connected, involved in their communities, very health conscious, very interested in alternative paradigms, and they tend to be what most, you know, marketing coaches call hubs or connectors. They are involved with large numbers of people, and, you know, for instance, an average yoga class, you know, has 20 or 30 people in it, and an average yoga teacher teaches, you know, five or seven classes a week. A massage therapist sees 15 or 20 people a week. A doula attends 30 or 50 births a year. They're people who are connected to other people, and serving them serves the whole message, because those are people that are going to share what my sharing is to the people that could really use the service. And a while ago, we had one of our Bay Area BGI Docs group meetings. We have been meeting on Sundays sort of sporadically, that is, until Molly came along and sort of knocked us off our rhythm, but we'll forgive her for that. and so one of those meetings, we had this business coach come and talk to us, and his name was Nigel. And he, you know, he talked about a lot of different aspects of business and marketing and how to be congruent. But one of the things he really that stuck with me was he asked he sort of rated on effectiveness and spirituality a series of questions. And those questions are really simple. The question why, the question what, the question how, and the question who. And, you know, basically what he says, if you're asking the question why, your business is dying. And he said, if you're asking what, your business is in survival, probably just getting by. He said, if you're asking how, then you're probably in some level of thriving or growth. And if you're asking the question who is it, who knows the people, who knows the people that need your service, then you're probably flourishing. And that really, like when I started reflecting on that for this talk, I was like, wow, that's really where it all came together. It's like, who are the people that are going to bring you the people, right? Who are they? And in this case, my niche, my family, my tribe, so to speak, are other healers. And I would imagine that's probably true for a lot of you out there in virtual conference call land also. So with all the help of this healing community, in the last 4.5 years, I've grown my practice. And these are some of the current statistics that we're just wrapping up here at the end of 2008. So we're seeing on average 150, 160 people a week over 4 days. And we're averaging about 20 to 25 new people a month, or usually like 6 to 10 a week, just depending on you know, how many days we're open that month. This is all word-of-mouth referral. We don't do any advertising, no Yellow Pages ad, no website. We don't take insurance. It's 100% cash practice, very sort of low overhead. I have two CAs that run the front desk, and I have 4 massage therapists that work out of the practice doing different kinds of modalities. And I'm very excited that we just added a Pilates teacher that's doing Pilates work on the floor and possibly going to get a portable reformer at the office as well. Excuse me. We're currently scheduling about 8 or 9 people an hour, and the new person visits typically tend to be booked up 3 to 4 weeks out. And that feels really good to me. It feels sustainable, and it, you know, hasn't always. I feel like my ability to manage my energy doing this has gotten a lot more efficient. But it feels sustainable right now, and I'm really excited about that. So how did I find my who, right? How did I find the who of my practice? And one of my values is, like I said before, synergy and connection. Also, before becoming a chiropractor, I was a massage therapist, and I had a network of people and friends from my old practice. Also, working with Arno over the years and going to different camps and things like that, he really taught me that the deeper meaning of being a doctor of any sort is to be a teacher at the depth. So I have a deep value for teaching, and part of my personal mission as a teacher is to improve the quality of touch in the world, right? To improve the quality and availability of healing touch that's out there. And to do that, I found it very effective to talk to other healers completely as peers. Sometimes we get into sort of a hierarchy or a ranking system or who's done more school or what. And, you know, the fact of the matter is when somebody goes to see somebody else for some sort of healing care, like Sue often has said, that's probably the perfect person to serve them in that moment. So in my communications with other kinds of healers, just being completely humble and direct and sort of honest and dropping the whole doctor thing and really just connecting person to person, I think has served me pretty well. another thing that I really do is I refer to other healers on a regular basis, frequently. I really don't try to be all things to all people, and I know, you know, some of you have other specialties that you do, if it's nutrition or what have you, but I pretty much just refer. I've got a huge synergy board in my office with cards on it from all different types of practices. And I, you know, somebody has an issue coming up or something that they marked on their paperwork during a first visit, they leave with some names of other people that they can, you know, research or go see if they want to. And the way that I sort of did that at the beginning was I actively, I called people. You know, I called people that I knew. I called people who, other people that I knew were excited about. You know, sometimes, like for instance, one of my clients came to see me and her daughter was trying to get pregnant and she found this great holistic acupuncturist that specializes in fertility. And I was like, great, you know, so I called that person and introduced myself on the phone, just explained a little bit very briefly about my practice and wanted to find out about them and just gave them an opportunity to tell me about their background, their training, what they do, why they do it, why they're in love with it. You know, I asked them not just about their practice and their service, but really also about their philosophy. and just kind of feeling out that conversation for rapport and for what felt right. And I would ask them to mail me some of their cards or brochures and tell them that they would be posted. And I would also ask them if they wanted to be placed on our email list for talks that we do at the office, also workshops and special events. And I would give them a few samples of some of the things that we had done in the past, like the last health talk was about micronutrients or aging gracefully or something like that. Or we had a special event that we're doing tomorrow where we're having a vision board workshop where we're having healers come in, and we're all going to, we've got like 30 people signed up, and everybody's going to set their intention for the coming year and create a collage to visualize that, you know, manifesting. And then everybody will have 2 minutes to share their intention with the group. So kind of an exciting little project we've got lined up. So things like that. You know, almost invariably people are interested in hearing about that kind of thing, as long as they're not going to get spammed or they're not going to get tried to, you know, I'm not trying to sell them anything, essentially, is what most people's concerns are. Occasionally I would ask practitioners if they wanted to try a trade. And mostly that was at the beginning, before I got crazy busy. Now I'm just happy to go pay for acupuncture or something like that. But, you know, if it's something new or I really resonate with somebody, I will still do a trade with somebody. And I think that can be an awesome way to connect with a new practitioner, have them see your working space and your studio. And, you know, that familiarity is one of the hugest hurdles of referrals. It's like once somebody sees the space that you've created and understands your vibe, then it either works or it doesn't. And, you know, if they like it, they're happy to refer to you. I send personalized thank you letters, and now I've designed a gratitude postcard that I send out for people that offer, you know, that send referrals. And for practitioners that want to co-manage a client, or that, you know, that I'm going to be seeing in addition to them, they sign like a little release form, and that way we can follow up. And I think, especially if it's a medical doctor or, you know, a DO, they really appreciate, you know, we did such and such, and this is what we found, and blah, blah, blah. And just that little bit of follow-up really helps build trust and rapport. But also massage therapists really like getting information. They like, I won't, you know, I'm going to say it, it's going to sound a little harsh, but they like being told what to focus on. They like being included in somebody's care. They like the more complex level of dialogue that happens when they're engaged at that level. So, you know, being free with information, as long as the client is okay with that, has been a really great rapport builder, a really great bridge builder with other practitioners. My sort of golden bullet, so to speak, has been teaching at a massage school in my area. And I do this because I really have a passion for it. I think I would probably do it even if it didn't radically support my business. Just I really believe in body education and massage education. But I know that a lot of massage schools use chiropractors quite regularly for their curriculum, for teaching anatomy, for teaching sections on common injuries, for teaching sections on things like contraindications. So these are places where even if it's not a regular gig, or maybe it's just, you know, like once every 2 months or something, where you could go in and give a class. Basically, you know, what you'll probably find is that you'll end up, it's like giving a chiropractic lay lecture to 25 or 30 really interested professionals who are working in a closely related field, who are touching hundreds of bodies all day long, and can often be a really great, like, first portal if they get something that seems complicated or that's not changing, or that they just really love or understand your message and realize that there's no competition between these fields, it's just that they're doing something related but different. And, you know, if you can educate them at the ground level, so to speak, and build those relationships while they're still in school, it can be a very deep relationship. Sometimes it feels a little bit like I have these, like, massage disciples out there. It's kind of fun. I've been doing it for a while, and I get a lot of satisfaction out of it. So if you have interest, or if you have some skills or background, or you live near a massage school, I would just really encourage you to poke into that. It's been just a deeply gratifying part and an effortless way to market my practice. It's pretty much, for me, it's where there's this overlapping of, you know, who I am and what I do has become so seamless that the marketing is inseparable from just, like, my passion, just sharing my gifts. And it has built this sort of very deep word-of-mouth communication, this sort of grassroots organization that I think is probably the most powerful marketing medium out there, right? Just ask Obama. This really came home one time. I was in a session with a new person in my practice, and they said, you know, I really knew I had to come see you when the third totally unrelated person in my life told me about you. And I was like, wow, okay, the word is out there. This person was going to hear it from somewhere. And I also want to just add one thing about that. If you're, and this gets a little tricky, if you are looking primarily to build your practice and not to offer something, people can smell that, right? If you have a need that you want to meet, right? If you're looking for clients, if you're looking for some sort of recognition, if you have anything like that going on at all, even at a subtle or energetic level, that's what people are going to hear more than that. You know, in other words, your message is going to be overshadowed by your unspoken communication. So just get really clear, right? In other words, attraction is far more powerful than trying to promote yourself. I should speak, put that in the I statement, promote myself. So I seek to educate, inspire, and empower people in their practices and in their education. I don't ask for referrals, but I do share the message, and I do share the difference between paradigms, what a therapeutic practice is and what a non-therapeutic practice is. I do share a lot of the wonder of how the body works and get people really inspired about their own bodies and the bodies they get to work with. I hope that came across right. So, yeah, just get right with what your intention is or what your motivation is behind it and have fun with it. A couple of other things that have worked for me, offering workshops and seminars on self-care, on personal boundaries, and repetitive stress injuries. So I've taken those around to, like, different spas or different health clubs, those have been very successful. I actually get paid to market myself in that respect, and that's been kind of a cool way to do it. Outreach. So outreach marketing can be a lot of different things, and you know, I try to keep it really simple. I try to start where I am. And if I'm taking a yoga class, I want to connect with that group of people. So rather than trying to, like, do some anonymous, you know, standing in a parking lot doing a spinal screening or at a health fair kind of thing where I want some way in, some connection to the population that I'm addressing. And I've had some luck with that. And over, you know, the last couple of years, I've been asked to share at high schools, like health classes in high schools, and actually at USF, their holistic health program. They have some class in holistic health that they wanted me to offer a non-allopathic point on, which I thought was kind of a cool thing. One of my clients is a yoga teacher, and she asked me to attend her yoga. It's like a weekend workshop intensive with 40 people there, and actually adjust people during their practice, adjust them while they were in asana. And that was a huge hit. And I just a lot of those people from that workshop, you know, once I got my hands on them and understood the bigger idea behind BGI and what we do, they were really excited about coming in for care after that. A local dance company wanted to a little talk about injury prevention. That was kind of fun. I'm planning a group of, to talk to a group of doulas to recognize some of the more subtle sort of effects of birth trauma to the CNS. I've got this ergonomic talk that I've taken around to different IT people and shared for office workers, and a couple of other things that have been very successful is a collaboration. One day a week, I practice with a woman who's a clairvoyant. Her name is Zoe. And the two of us work together on one person for an hour. And that has been an incredibly fertile referral zone, just referring people back and forth to her. And then what's grown out of working together has been, I don't know, people have gotten so excited about that work that we're literally booked out pretty much through the middle of next year. So collaborations, like with the yoga teacher or with the clairvoyant or somebody else who you really resonate with, could be a really fun way to expand your practice and your understanding of the body as well, and kind of be a win-win. One more outreach thing, and this is just this totally random bit. I went and did a meditation retreat last year, and one of the things that you offer at the end of the retreat is, you know, if you had a good experience, you can give a donation. And my donation was, you know, this was like an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes away from my practice. I offered anybody that was involved with my retreat, if they wanted to come down and get adjusted, that I would adjust them for free. And I just, you know, I was really moved by my experience there at Spirit Rock. And I never really expected that, like, pretty much all of Spirit Rock would be coming, driving down an hour and 15 minutes one way into the city to get adjusted, but that's what happened. So as the word spread, that it was congruent with what they were doing and teaching, and it just became this, so my donation became an incredible marketing opportunity as well. So those are just some of the ideas that I've been playing with, and again, the goal here has just been to communicate what has worked for me holistically, very organically. I'm talking about these things sort of after I had done them and trying to understand, like, what process was, like, what was guiding me, how I was navigating through building my practice. And this is the most clear way that I can talk about it. It's just been connecting with other people in the healing arts. So if people want to unmute and chime in with some questions, I would be thrilled to hear what you all have to say and if any of this is resonating.
Eric, this is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
That was, when I said to run with it, you did. That was pretty amazing what you just went through there. So it sounds like the process here is, the key points are finding what your passion is and marketing to that.
Well, yeah. And I don't think that that is like a radical or revolutionary idea, but it has really worked for me in a very, like I said, organic way. And your passion may be really different, or your connection to other people might be very different than the one that I just described, but I think the principle is sound. Find, like, who you really are, like, what it is you really are passionate about, and then start there. for your marketing rather than starting in a place that's just not you or anonymous, that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, it's always good to hear it in many different ways. And I think the way, I mean, because you were talking about many approaches, is that I haven't heard too many people, you know, talk about, but it's all part of your process as you weave it into what makes sense to you. So the process is really how to find that, which, you know, because anything that we resonate with, I would resonate with, I would be more motivated to market in.
Exactly. And in fact, when it's really working well, I think it's not even marketing. It doesn't feel like marketing. Like the idea of marketing kind of has a bad flavor for some people. It has sort of a bad rap, or people sort of feel like you want something from them. But I'm trying to communicate the idea that it doesn't have to be that way. It can be this really exciting, deep communication that doesn't feel like you're trying to sell somebody something. It's just this sort of effortless connection that gets developed where people get excited about what your message is because it's who I really am.
Well, one other question that's more of a detailed question. So what is the process for your professional discount? Like, you arrived at a discount value, so how did you arrive at that? Could you take us through that a little bit?
So, yeah, that's a great question, Jeff. I kind of figured out, like, what my overall expenses are. In other words, I forget what they call it, but in practice management terms, there's some name for how much it costs you to see somebody. In other words, how much it costs you to have your doors open and toilet paper stocked and your CA answering the phone and all the paperwork and all, you know. So, you know, I figured out it, like, cost me, like, somewhere between, like, $15 and $16 or something to see somebody, for somebody to walk in the door. And I wanted to figure out, well, how much is still a reasonable amount to get paid above and beyond that, so that, you know, it's profitable, but not, but so that it just eases the process for them and that they feel like they're being offered something that's, you know, they can take advantage of. So my normal rates for adjusting are $45 a visit, and the professional discount is $35 a visit, which again is different from any sort of a financial aid package, which I have arrangements for if people have special circumstances or health crises or things like that.
Cool.
Does that answer it?
Yeah, I think so. And the numbers, you know, just seeing how you do it and what your thought was about it. So.
It encourages the people who are accessing people to come and get regular care. And that's what I wanted it to do. I wanted there not to be any real significant barrier. And, you know, for a massage therapist in San Francisco, that's not a barrier, right? They're working, they're making money. A lot of times they're getting, you know, tipped in cash and stuff. And, you know, coming in and getting adjusted, taking care of their body, which is another great education point, right? There's no better way to sharpen your tool, so to speak, than to really keep it aligned and keep it integrated. And that was the idea behind the professional discount, was to keep people under regular care without it being cost prohibitive, but still not, and I didn't want to do it for a break even either.
Eric, it's Holly. I have a question.
Hi, Holly.
Hi. So on that note, what you just said about sharpening the tool, et cetera, do you actually engage with those folks in conversation on that level about that concept?
I do. And when I do engage at that level, obviously they know that I'm a chiropractor, but I share about it often in broader terms. So, you know, it's like one of the ways that you can sharpen your tool or keep yourself in optimum fitness or health or whatever your words are, is to get adjusted regularly. Another way to do it is to go out and get a professional massage. If you're training to be a massage therapist, you will learn a tremendous amount, and also, you know, you will get the work you need and also be learning in the process. And I try to communicate that is also true. They'll be learning about their bodies in the process of getting adjusted in quite a unique way.
Cool. I have another question.
Please.
It's a little bit of a tangent, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who'd like to know, what does that hour session with the clairvoyant look like? What's going on? I just want to hear about that.
If there's anybody on the line that's actually had one of those sessions, I'd love to hear from you. It's a very exciting process because it feels like when I'm working with Zoe, there's this sort of third element that gets called up in the relationship between the two of us, and it can be very intense. We have a little disclaimer that we ask people to sign where it's definitely not for people who are either just curious about it or just beginning their healing journey. It's for people that have done some of their homework and who are sort of on their path. It can be very fierce, and it can be very direct, and it can look many different ways. Sometimes it looks like a very full-on, hands-on kind of adjusting. Sometimes it looks more like a conversation that sort of cycles around until we find something that we call an opening, and then it can go into energy work or like a past life reading or some combination thereof, and it never ceases to. I never leave there without learning a tremendous amount about this process that we're all engaged in. This thing we do called healing work, called adjusting. It's kind of cracked open my box a little bit, and. And I think just energetically cracking open that box has attracted like another whole realm of people to me, whether or not they're directly referred from Zoe or not. I'm open to things differently than I was from that collaboration. And that is attracting new people from the universe. I don't know. This is a little vague, Holly. I'm sorry.
No, that's great. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, it can look a little bit like talking. It can look like hands-off kind of energy work. It can look like full-on, like, unwinding on the table and craniosacral. It can look like laughter, tears.
I think it's really exciting, the idea of collaborating. And the two examples that you've provided, one maybe a little bit more obvious to us as chiropractors, and the other maybe a little bit more on the edge for us, but it just like it busted open about like, wow, huh, who's my niche and who could I collaborate with and what could that look like, you know? It's pretty cool.
Thank you for pointing that. I mean, that was really the idea behind it. It was just like, okay, so we get to make this up. We get to order off the menu, so to speak, and I'm often really limited by, you know, I go into the restaurant and I order the same thing I had last time. And it's like, speaking metaphorically, of course, like, what's new? What's different? How can I explore all the different options and tools that we have at our disposal with this amazing gift that we have called BGI? And it really seamlessly integrates with many other different forms of healing. And, you know, the time at the yoga retreat was just really exciting for folks. people were really blown away at how far into their practice they could go getting adjusted and getting integrated while they were in posture. It was really cool.
Mm. Amazing.
Who else is out there?
Inviting other questions, but also, Eric, if there's anyone else who has done something similar to you or anyone who recognizes a niche in their practice that's different and helps kind of paint a broader palette for us all to stimulate our, I don't know, our appetites and our imaginations and our inspirations, I'd be interested to hear that, too.
Yeah, that would be great.
Hey, Eric. This is Eric from Vancouver.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, long time no hear. Hi,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, really great to hear from you.
Thank you. I was just wondering, first of all, I really truly appreciate you spending the time just sharing this. This is really great, being that this is the last month of the year, and it's giving great ideas to start this 2009. Just can't wait the new year to start. But I have a very just simple question. How do I reach you? I need your email address and your phone number.
Cool. So it's just my name, Eric, E-R-I-C, dot Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, at sbcglobal.net.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty simple. So how are things out there in Vancouver?
Oh, it's so wet. It's so wet you can't believe how wet it is.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same thing with Holly right there.
Hi, Eric. It's Joanne from Australia.
Joanne, I'm so excited that you're on the line. How awesome.
I know. Val convinced me. Hi, Val. I haven't started working with the clairvoyant just yet, but recently I'm working with the other chiropractor in one of my practices, and the two of us are adjusting someone at the same time, so she's only had a BGO1 experience, and I've done a little bit more. Part of me, when I'm in the process of adjusting with her, it feels great, and then I'm wondering if it's too much for the body. Is there too much communication between? Are there too many systems talking to each other? So,
Wow. Excuse me for one second. I think that's a really great question, and maybe there are some other people out there that practice with other chiropractors. I have had the incredible opportunity of having some externs in my office, Jesse Morris and Clay Solwald, and certain clients it was too much for, and for other clients they completely loved it. They're just like, when are you getting another extern? You know, like when? You know, I think a lot of that just depends on how well you communicate with the other doc, and can you really match each other and make sure you're playing at the same level, working on the same pattern. Really, if you have your communication down, their body will be able to hang with it. Has been my experience. Let's see.
Yeah, it's tough because we communicate very, very differently, but obviously we choose who the person on the table is, or they choose us, but we've had really good feedback from it, and a lot of people, even when there's two of us adjusting in the same area, they know it feels so much different. So, yeah, I just sometimes I know, not even sure if Sue's online, but is she online? No. I know that if Sue and I would work on someone separately, we'd almost have to ask the question of what did the last person do, or what tracks were cleared, and I'm not really having those conversations with another chiropractor because they don't know what other tracks I've cleared. So, you know, what do you do?
Well, I mean, my question to you is, how has it gone? Do you feel like without having, had all that specific conversation, that the body was still able to process, integrate, make sense of the contacts? Were you still seeing mostly what you thought you were going to see when you make an adjustment and that kind of a thing? Or does the system go into something that looks like chaos or something that looks like it's not quite sure what to do with it?
Right. It feels great. I would never let them leave unless, there was obviously continuity. I just, I guess it's what you said about what is new and what is different. And it excited us. It felt like it was different and that we could go a little bit further. And yeah, we didn't charge double. I wasn't sure about that.
Well, if you're working in an open room, it can be really easy to, to have another practitioner come over and, for instance, hold the other end of a pillar, or to if you're lining up for an osseous type force application, to really just connect the other end of the track so that you've got the whole, those can be really fun ways to play with another person who speaks your language, understands the geometry. What a gift. When I work with Zoe, we have to sort of use a universal translator because we have slightly different vocabularies, but we've been doing it long enough now that we're pretty connected with each other. So I'd be very curious to see where you go with it, especially working with somebody else that has a BGI language.
And can I add a comment? You guys, it's Holly again. What I think you're both have in your head and in your experience when you're there is just honoring what is appropriate for that individual system and it guiding you. And so the question it brings up for me is when you're working with anybody, you want to make sure you're on that same page, I would assume, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Unless I think you have that congruence with the other practitioner, you know, if there's any sort of static there, the person receiving their system is going to pick up on that big time. Mm-hmm. And more than likely just sort of be like, huh?
Right. Obviously, it's very deliberate who actually is that person on the table. And quite often they're chiropractic students who are exploring and,
Well, and I encourage students to play with that. I mean, that what a great way to explore tracks, especially, right, by feel, and then try communicating that with each other by putting your hands on the same track and just feel what that feels like in the body of the recipient. Just like, well, how does it feel to have a set of hands at the top and the bottom or somewhere in between on the same pattern? And does that come more alive for you or not? I think that would be a great thing to do in clubs.
Thanks, Eric. Bye.
Okay, Joe, nice to talk to you.
Yay!
Let's see, I have an email question that came in. Let's see. So this is a question about actually sharing space in my office with other practitioners. And let's see, they said, have you ever had to ask somebody to leave? Do you have some sort of written or oral arrangement for both parties? So, you know, that's a good question. I've tried different types of arrangements, and I have four massage therapists that work here. Some of them are really busy. Some of them just sort of fill in here and there. But if they're working on their own client, they rent the room as a straight hourly rental. And that seems like it's worked out pretty well. If they're working on a North Point client, then we do a 50-50 split, and that works out pretty well too. In the past, I have had an acupuncturist working here on one of the days when, or actually two of the days when I wasn't here in the office, and we had some major communication glitches. And one of the cardinal rules was I could not find any needles on the floor or laying around anywhere. And unfortunately, that happened. So I had to ask her to leave. And that was a little awkward, but that seemed like really honoring my space in a way in our agreement. So I know when Amy wrote me this particular question, she had a story about an acupuncturist that she was renting space to who just continually pushed her boundaries and kept sort of flaking on her. And, you know, it was almost as if she was just in Amy's life to show her something about defining her boundaries better. That was the gist of the take-home point of the story that I got anyway. So it can be very exciting to have other practitioners and other life kind of coming into your practice, and it can be also a source of referrals, because if somebody comes and walks through your beautiful practice to get a massage and they come out and they see you adjusting people, well, a lot of them are going to be curious about that. It can also be, if it's not the right energy, if it's not the right synergy, it can be a real drain. I think it can be very conflicting. And, you know, you've all been around people that you don't resonate with that much or that it takes energy to be with. And that, so I would really make sure that, you know, you want to date that person if you're going to ask them to be in your space or share your space with you. and that you're compatible on lots of different levels, especially, I think, philosophically. One other question that just came in, which modalities do you find most complementary with your work or our work? Are there certain ones that are better than others? No, not really. Although I do think something like craniosacral work has a lot of similarities, not to adjusting, so to speak, but just the way that people receive it, they tend to go pretty well together. And one of our therapists here does some really nice craniosacral work. I don't know if anybody else has anything they want to add to that. I'm open and tired of hearing my own voice. Is there anybody out there?
I agree with you that I've been getting craniosacral work and sharing people between a craniosacral worker for almost the whole time I've been in practice, and I think that the work really does work well with BGI and chiropractic in general, so I agree with that.
Yeah, excellent. I like it.
Where's our moderator?
Well, our moderator is at a very highfalutin party right now, a Christmas cocktail party, so I don't think she's going to be on the line. She said in her email that she doesn't want to be checking her watch. She was trying to find an alternative host, but she may not make it.
Well, I'm talking about our surrogate moderator,
Gotcha.
Holly.
How may I assist you?
Well, it doesn't sound like there's any more questions, and Eric's tired of his voice.
Well, so I guess that means we can wrap things up. If anybody has questions or comments or ideas or wants just some feedback or wants to talk, feel free to contact me. Again, my email is eric.rubin@sbcglobal.net. And I would be happy to continue this conversation in any way you want. Also, I know that there was some talk about us doing a staff meeting after tonight's call, and I don't know how thoroughly that message got around. So
I'm echoing that, Eric. I don't know if anyone else is on track for that.
Except our lovely friends from... New Zealand.
Yeah.
Hi, Holly. I'm here. This is Valerie.
Hey, Valerie.
Eric, can I just say that what you shared was, and the eloquent way that you shared it was fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
oh, well, thank you,
Eric,
for the feedback.
Very, very inspiring, and I look forward to the tape of it, actually. It would be something I'd love to share in a class that I'm taking over here. It would be just a lovely thing to share. So.
What class are you taking over, Val?
I'm taking over a prof prac communication class on interacting with other healthcare providers.
So, oh my gosh! Well, this could be day one.
So this was really, 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 really good. And yeah, I'd love to have you video conference. Actually, I'm going to talk to you about that later. So,
well,
video conference.
You can make something like that happen.
I can make
I'll
it happen.
I'll get a makeup artist.
I can make it happen. I actually can.
I don't know if New Zealand is ready for Eric Bell.
Yeah, I think they're ready.
Hey, Val.
But thank you, Eric. And if there's any, I am prepared to be here for the staff if that is going to go off. If not, that's fine.
Let's wrap up the call.
This is Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Hey, Eric. Quick question.
Hi.
Is this going to be available on audio at some point, because I wasn't able to make it until halfway through the call.
Oh, that would be a great question for Jeff, who I think is still on the line.
So here's where things are at right now with that. Sue announced at BGI3 that she has the plans to make the links for the audio available on the website.
Okay.
The question is when will the website be up?
And, right, we're still waiting.
Yeah. And also, I have some final details to work out with Sue before we start, you know, so I before I get them down in the form to be put up on the website. So I you know, hate to say that it's not going to be within the next month or two. I would think realistically probably sometime mid-next year we'll have them all available.
Gotcha. Jeff, is it a possibility if people are really interested for you to burn a CD, if Val wants it for her class or something like that, and be able to ship a hard copy like that off?
Well, I was going to talk to Val real quick after we got off here to talk to her about that. But I apologize for not being able to get it any faster out there. But it will be available, and I'm pushing, you know, to have it, you know, sooner than later. So,
how are things out there, Susan?
Beautifully snowy and cold.
Mm-hmm. Maine is beautiful in the winter.
It is. It's fabulous. Mm. And I really liked your idea about the meditation retreat. That was great because I'm getting ready to do one. So.
Oh yeah, that was the Dana that just kept on giving. It was. Yeah, it was amazing. It just how that blossomed, and I'm still touched that that community drives down to the city to get adjusted. It's so cool.
Well, it's just so congruent. It's so it same type of thing that's happening.
Yeah,
Hi, Eric. This is Margarita. I just wanted to thank you also.
Thank you, Margarita.
You always speak from your heart so eloquently, and thank you.
Mm. I appreciate it.
I always have such fun because whoever comes in my office, whatever healer, big healers, we just without even talking about it hardly, we work on people together. And so I've always done that, and it's been so wonderful. I love that.
At the same time or just sharing them back and forth in the office?
No, at the same time.
At the same time. Wow.
Yeah. Well, there are people that I've worked on for a really long time. Like one woman is, she's almost 80. She's my adopted German godmother, and she still can work on people for 3 hours straight by herself. Okay? I mean, when she's in the office, people go, oh, my God, Carola's here. I wonder if she's going to touch me. You know, I mean, it's just like, and there's some other people like that that we've all, because, you know, I've had the practice here for so long that it just is this lovely thing that just happens that I so appreciate in my practice.
I love, you know, what I can really hear in your voice is how it feeds you, how the collaboration feeds you. And I think, you know, if your marketing isn't feeding you, if it's draining you, then you better find another form of marketing that really...
Right. I like the way you put that. I think, oh, wow, I've been doing that.
You've been doing it the whole time, girl.
That's way it's happening, and I didn't plan it, so that's great.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, there is the marketing call on Thursday that Jody Dennerman's going to do.
Oh, that's right. I guess Jody and Tom are doing a call on marketing specifically.
Correct, yeah. And so you need to contact Jody's office and get the special phone number and code to get in for that call if you're interested in doing it. It's going to be 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Eastern time, I guess it is. 8 o'clock Eastern.
Well, all right. I guess this wraps up this month's installment of the Tuesday night BGI conference call.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. I hope you all have a great new year and get some downtime over the break. And I really want to thank you all for the opportunity to share my experience and what's been working for me over here. And yeah, it's really great to be part of this community, even though we're all over the place and all spread out.
Yep. Well, can I say something to the staff that's on the call? Thank you so much for adjusting us at BGI3. I am still so processing and so happy to be able to take the information and use it more in my practice because my body got it. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Cool. Pleasure.
Beth, please tell Sue we love being adjusted every day.
I think that point got home.
I know. But I'm really still feeling it. It's fabulous.
Well, all right, people.
Hi.
If you want to stay on for a brief staff chat, that sounds good to me.
Okay. It's your staff.
I don't know who's actually on.
Marcia's here.
Hey, Marcia, have you been on?
Yes, I have. It's a great call.
Oh, awesome. How are things in Kentucky?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. And
been raining all day.
Have you actually been doing things with the Chiropractic Association, or are you guys more on holiday leave time for that?
No, we've been working on some things, yeah. We constantly have either teleconferences or emails back and forth that we work on, so. Yep.
Politics never sleeps.
That's right.
Can I interrupt
hey,
you
Marcia
for a second,
Valerie.
Eric?
Hi, Val.
Can I talk to Val for just a second, and then I'm going to go off the phone and let you guys talk?
Yeah, go.
Are you there, Val?
Yep, sure am.
So if you need this phone call, I can crunch it down into an MP3, upload it, and give you the link, and you can download it and use it in your class if you want.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm going to look into video conferencing first, because then I can have an interaction between the class and Eric.
Mm-hmm.
But if I don't think that's going to go, then I will absolutely email you, as long as it's okay with Sue, that I do that.
Okay. Yeah. It'd be no
and
problem.
And then take that, and then make sure that that's all kind of clean before
mm-hmm.
I actually put it out to a class here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But yeah, all of a sudden as I was talking, I was thinking, we just got video conferencing capabilities, and that would really be beautiful if I could do that. So.
Well, what time of day is it there?
Right now it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, in the afternoon. Okay.
Yeah, it's Wednesday afternoon here.
Gotcha.
But it would be at a different time of the year and everything, because that class doesn't meet till later in the year. So we have about 5 months to work on
the details,
even getting this to work. So,
oh,
yeah.
So we have that much time. They might. This call may be up
yeah.
by then.
Right. Yeah. I was just making the comment and getting it in my head and writing a note to myself that I wanted to make sure I did that. And to see if Eric would be up for video conferencing.
I'm just saying yes these days. I just got asked to speak
Great.
At Life West's Friday seminar, so I'm like all nervous
Great.
About that. But
it's like that new Jim Carrey
it'd
movie.
Be fantastic.
The new Jim Carrey movie where he's saying yes to everything.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't come out yet, but it's coming out. He starts saying yes to everything. So.
So thanks. So, but I'll check into those.
Okay.
The First Avenue first. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Eric. That was a great call. And you all and staff, take it easy. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you,
Jeff.
Yes. Right. Thanks for recording.
All right, no problem. Bye.
You have been listening to Synergizing with Other Practitioners in Your Community, presented by Dr. Eric Rubin. This program is brought to you by the Biogeometric Integration Community Call Series, hosted by Dr. Amy Burke, recorded and engineered by Dr. Jeffrey Hoffman. This recording is copyrighted in 2009 by Dr. Susan M. Brown, all rights reserved. For more information on biogeometric integration, go to www.bgiseminars.com or call at 630-258-1054.